Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tetragon Investor Conference Call. All the participants will be in listen-only mode during the whole conference. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star followed by zero on your telephone. Just to remind you all that this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand over to the Chairperson, David Wyshner. Please begin with your meeting, and I'll be standing by.
Thanks, Anna. As one of the principals of the investment manager of Tetragon Financial Group Limited, I'd like to welcome you all to our investor call. Today, we'll focus on Q1 2009 results and provide an update on progress to date. The format of today's call will be similar to our previous investor calls. Phil Bland, our CFO, will present Tetragon's Q1 results, as well as report on our quarterly dividend announcement. I'll provide an overview on our portfolio and key performance metrics, and Jeff Herlin, also a principal of the investment manager, will provide an outlook on TFG and the market. I'd like to remind everyone that the following contains forward-looking comments, including statements regarding the intentions, beliefs, or current expectations concerning performance and financial condition on the products and markets in which Tetragon invests. Our performance may change materially as a result of various possible events or factors. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Phil, our CFO.
Thanks so much, David. I'm going to start my comments with an overview of the quarter's performance. Q1 saw a continuation and indeed an acceleration of the significant challenges faced by TFG, which we discussed last with you on our January call. As anticipated when we discussed the accelerated loss reserve at the end of 2008, rating agency downgrades of our investments' underlying collateral, which as you know are mainly senior secured loans, to a level which causes them to be held in CCC baskets, increased significantly in early 2009, and particularly in March. In addition, the market value of CCC collateral generally fell by around 20 points during the quarter. CCC basket excesses are held at market value for the purposes of calculating par cushions for over-collateralization and other coverage test calculations in CLOs, and the combination of the CCC downgrades and lower carrying values resulted in loss of par in Q1 2009. As a result, the majority of the accelerated loss reserve of $141 million, which we established at 2008 year-end, was released in Q1 2009, and mainly in March. In consideration of the Q1 experience and the ongoing uncertainty around further losses arising from, among other things, additional rating agency downgrades, we've decided to increase the accelerated loss reserve by a further $290 million to $315 million at the end of Q1 2009. And Jeff will be talking about the market outlook later in the call. I'd now like to turn my comments to a review of the Q1 financial highlights in the statement of operations. Interest income fell to $47.7 million from $53.1 million in Q4, largely reflecting the reduction in IRRs announced at year-end. Partially offsetting that, our operating costs fell by 26% from Q4 and by 50% from Q1 2008, the corresponding quarter last year, mainly due to lower financing charges and lower management fees, which are driven by lower NAV levels. And David's going to cover in more detail comments on leverage and financing activities later in the call. The quarter's performance was significantly impacted by unrealized losses totaling $457 million, including the increase in the accelerated loss reserves that I've already described. Overall, consolidated net income for Q1 was a loss of $414.3 million, which represents a loss per share of $3.29. This compares with a loss of $187.2 million, or $1.48 per share in Q4 2008. As a result, NAV per share declined to $5.75, from $9.06 at the end of December 2008. And in absolute terms, net assets now stand at approximately $723 million. On a positive note, the investment portfolio generated $47.1 million of cash during the quarter, which equates to 37 cents per share. As anticipated at 2008 year end, we used our cash balances to repay all outstanding and previously defeased repurchase and total return swap borrowings, and as of the end of the quarter, the company had zero borrowings. During the quarter, the net long cash position grew from around $60 million to $94.3 million, or approximately 75 cents per share, and that's continued to grow in April. Based on our base case modeling assumptions, which drive the rate at which TFG recognizes income, the weighted average IRR ended the quarter at 10.6%, down roughly 3.2 percentage points from the end of Q4 2008. I'd now like to turn to the first quarter dividend announcement. In setting the Q1 dividend, the board of directors took into account the performance of the company, as I've just described, and its potential challenges through the rest of this year. It also considered the current and uncertain economic environment, but also the cash generated by the investment portfolio. Notwithstanding our recent operating performance, the Q1 2009 cash generation and the level of cash reserves enabled the board to approve, based on the investment manager's recommendation, a dividend payment of 3 cents per share, which is in line with Q4. As in previous quarters, investors will continue to have the opportunity to receive their dividend either fully or partially in the form of TFG shares rather than cash through our optional stock dividend program. The conversion ratio will be published to the website in May, and elections should be made in the usual way. So in summary for my section, the first quarter continued to provide significant challenges to the portfolio, and this has been reflected both in the performance of the company and the decision to significantly increase the accelerated loss reserve. In spite of this, the portfolio continued to be cash generative, and that's enabled us to pay off debt, grow our cash balance, and also maintain the dividend levels. And with that, I'd like to pass over to David to comment on our portfolio and risk profile.
Thanks, Phil. I'd now like to run you through certain portfolio and performance metrics with an emphasis on the underlying collateral performance and quality. As of the end of Q109, our investment portfolio consisted of 61 CLO investments managed by 32 different collateral managers, representing an estimated fair value of approximately $615 million. No new CLO investments were made during the quarter as cash flow from investments was primarily used to pay down corporate-wide borrowings, thereby eliminating leverage, pay dividends to shareholders, and continue our share buyback program. The portfolio is diversified across underlying asset classes and geographies, with approximately 55% of risk capital invested in CLOs with primary exposure to U.S. broadly syndicated senior secured loans, 23% in CLOs with primary exposure to European broadly senior secured loans, and 22% in CLOs with primary exposure to U.S. middle market senior secured loans. On a look-through basis, Tetragon's exposure to senior secured leverage loans totals approximately $17 billion of par value, underpinned by approximately $723 million of permanent equity capital. Tetragon's exposure continues to be spread across approximately 1,700 different corporate obligors, the substantial majority of which are U.S. names, with the balance residing in Europe. We continue to review our hedging strategy for both credit exposures and FX principal risk on an ongoing basis and seek to address identified risks to the extent practicable, and in a cost-effective manner as well. To further highlight Phil's comments on leverage, we are pleased with the company's efforts to repay all outstanding repo and total return swap borrowings as of March 31st. As of that date, the company had zero borrowings. With a free cash balance of over $94 million, we feel we are well-placed to evaluate uses of excess cash for investment and hedging purposes. We'll continue to seek to ensure the stability of the company's business as well as the company's ability to respond to changing market conditions. We believe it is important to maintain appropriate cash levels on our balance sheet given the current economic conditions and uncertainty. As you have seen on our website, today TFG announced the continuation of the share repurchase program. The board believes that the purchase of shares in the market at appropriate price levels below net asset value represents an attractive use of TFG's excess cash and an efficient means to return cash to shareholders. The updated share repurchase program will commence on May 1, 2009, and will continue for a period of up to 18 months until 5% of the company's outstanding shares have been repurchased under the updated program or until terminated by the board. I'd now like to update you on some key measures that we remain focused on. TFG's lagging 12-month corporate loan default rate increased to 4% during the first quarter compared to 2.5% in Q4 2008. The significant pickup in default rates was accompanied by generally weak post-default secondary market prices, which contributed to significant unrealized losses. Although realized recoveries may be higher than post-default market values, there exists the potential for coverage ratio test breaches as a result of unrealized losses due to these low market values. This would have a negative impact on CLO equity returns. Excess loss reserves declined in Q1 2009, with approximately $50.3 million of excess loss reserves having been factored into our IRR calculations as of end of the quarter. At the end of Q4 2008, excess loss reserves were approximately $115 million. These excess net loss reserves are CLO specific, and the total figure of $50.3 million represents the aggregate sum of these reserves experienced in the underlying loan portfolios of each CLO. As Phil mentioned previously, we are particularly focused on the impact of rating agency collateral downgrades on TFG's cash flows and earnings. This phenomena was the key driver behind the establishment of the accelerated loss reserves. As of the end of Q1 2009, 24, or approximately 40% of our CLO investments, were failing their most junior over-collateralization tests. As OC tests are breached, CLO structures may divert excess interest cash flows away from the equity tranche holders to pay down the CLO's debt, thereby curing the OC breach through deleveraging. Accordingly, the aforementioned 24 investments have either ceased to generate cash flow to TFG or are expected to cease generating cash flow on the next applicable payment date. Once enough debt has been repaid to cure the OC test breach, however, the distributions of excess interest cash flows to equity tranche holders could resume to the extent not precluded due to the investment's realized or unrealized losses. As of March 31, 2009, the weighted average percentage of corporate obligors rated CCC or below in our 61 CLO investments was 11.4% compared to an approximate 7.8% weighted average maximum level permitted under the terms of our investments. The weighted average WARC stood at approximately 2,758. Each of these foregoing statistics represents a weighted average sum of all of our 61 investments. Each individual investment's metrics will differ from this average and vary across the portfolio. Rising defaults and negative loan migration may continue to impact TFG's investments, OC, and other coverage ratios. In turn, exert pressure on TFG's cash flows and net income. In sum, we continue to see pressure on TFG's investments and continue to focus on appropriate steps to help mitigate further portfolio effects. I'll now turn over to Jeff, who will discuss our outlook for TFG and the market.
Thanks, Dave. The combination of poor functioning capital markets and a continued economic downturn in the global economies is generally resulting in lower current and forecasted earnings among leveraged loan issuers. Despite the 11% rally in the leveraged loan index in Q1, we believe that the outlook for the aggregate leveraged loan market continues to point toward a difficult road ahead for the remainder of 2009. Coming off a 6.3% Q4 GDP contraction, corporate earnings, measured by EBITDA, among publicly filing leveraged loan issuers fell 6.8% in Q4 last year, according to CompuStat. A total of 50% of all publicly filing leveraged loan issuers reporting declining EBITDA levels for the fourth quarter. This earnings performance led S&P to downgrade 11% of all issuers in their leveraged loan index, including 3.5% which were downgraded at CCC, and also led to an increase in Q1 defaults, bringing the trailing 12-month default level to 7.8%, according to S&P. Given the current environment, we expect to see increasing activity among leveraged loan issuers to fortify their balance sheets against continuing economic downturn. Such activity will likely include debt for debt exchanges, debt for equity exchanges, and or debt buybacks at substantial discounts, allowing companies to deleverage and reduce interest expense. Other potential actions include additional equity infusions where possible, amendments to debt indentures to cure potential events of default, and debt maturity extensions where possible. As evidence of this type of behavior, amendment activity in the first quarter increased to 97 issuers requesting covenant relief, up from 62 issuers in Q4 last year, according to S&P. On a positive note, there can be potential benefits from this type of activity, as completed amendments generally produce fee income for investors and increase coupon spreads in return for granting covenant relief. Additionally, debt exchanges can often be beneficial to first lien loan investors through the resulting deleveraging and interest expense reduction. As evidence, loans affected by issuer debt exchanges traded up in price by approximately 25% in Q1 versus the 11.7% aggregate loan market price rally, according to S&P. However, given the overall continued difficult outlook for leveraged loans, we expect Tetragon's portfolio of CLO equity investments to remain under pressure throughout 2009 as both loan asset rating migration and loan default levels increase. We expect a growing portion of our 61 CLO equity investments will defer cash payments to the equity tranches in which we are invested, pushing potential investment value into future periods when cash flows to the equity tranche could be turned on again. While such an event is an unfortunate consequence of the severity of the decline in the leveraged loan market, we believe Tetragon's permanent capital base better positions the company to capture the value of back-ended cash flows. We continue to weigh various alternative uses for our cash. Among them are our continuing stock buyback program, paying dividends, investments in undervalued leveraged loan-related assets, and different methods of improving our existing investments' risk profile. Given the uncertain outlook, we intend to continue to focus on the preservation of existing investments during the remainder of the year and expect to evaluate any potential secondary CLO debt and/or equity investments on an opportunistic basis as we seek to weigh their potential costs and benefits against our near-term goals. With that, I'll turn it back to Dave.
Thanks, Jeff. We'd like to thank everyone for joining this call. As always, please do not hesitate to contact us directly with any specific questions you may have. We look forward to speaking with you in the future. With that, I'll turn it back to Anna, our conference moderator. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.